And welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for our community connection right here on K1, the one you trust. I'm Tom Davis, and we've got everybody in here that's still working this weekend from the city. How we doing there, guys? How you doing, Mr. Bailey?
Morning, Tom. How was your weekend?
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be better when Wednesday hits.
We had that conversation already, and I agree with you entirely. I think everybody is looking forward to a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm.
Although Keith reminded me that he and his sanitation workers will be working on Friday. So
he made me feel
guilty. It lasted 10, 15 seconds or so.
Well, you know, when it comes to the holidays, there are a lot of things that happen. Our police and fire, of course, they're 24/7. And a lot of folks who work in services like that, we all knew it when we signed up for it.
Yep, that's police. And fire. We've got water plant and wastewater plant. Mm-hmm. All those guys will be working.
Yep.
They work, you're correct, they work 24/7. So we're grateful to them that they're willing to serve. But yep, it's of course, as you're new in those professions,
mm-hmm.
you get these assignments.
You do.
Seniority counts for a lot in these service organizations. So stick with it, and you'll have Thanksgiving off at some point as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're grateful to them for keeping us safe as we're enjoying the holidays this weekend, and hopefully everybody will have a little peace. I think we've all earned it over the last several months.
Oh yeah, 2020's been a fun year.
2020, that's one way to put it. 2020 is.
I saw people putting up Christmas ornaments in August just to kind of move it along a little bit. Be done.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not willing to. I'm not willing to set, what was it, set your clock back or something? I have no idea what the time is. I don't even pay attention anymore.
Right. You know what day it is during COVID? Blur day.
And I don't think anybody needed an extra hour of 2020, so we'll power through. But unfortunately, that's more of what we're going to talk a little bit about today.
Okay.
We've got some COVID update. I realize that most of us are tired of hearing about this, but it is still very much with us. Unfortunately, in Oklahoma and in Washington County, we are seeing much higher rates of new infection than what we've seen previously.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly in the state, for the last week, they've averaged about 3,000 new cases per day. And I would say that is the highest that the state has seen over that period of time. Washington County, obviously, we have a much smaller population than the state of Oklahoma, so we're seeing much smaller new cases. However, ours are still very high for us. We, over the last week, have seen about 29 new cases per day for the last 7 days. So that's definitely the highest that we have seen, in fact, since this thing started. For the state of Oklahoma, they have an alert system, and it's color-coded for ease. It has green, yellow, orange, and then there's also a red category. And as far as the number of cases, it can either put you in the green, yellow, or the orange. To be in the red, you have to have a certain number of cases, plus mm-hmm. you have to have several triggers typically related to hospitalizations and ventilators and things like that. So at this point in time, Washington County and the entire state are all in that orange risk category,
okay.
Which that's the highest risk category you can attain without having shortages of hospital capacity and things of that nature. So looking at Washington County, at this point in time, let's back up. Let's talk about September.
September
things were still relatively stable. They were about the level that we had seen through the summer. Early on there was a spike and it kind of dropped off, and things really stayed very stable around here for a long time. So in September we were seeing 7 new cases per day. In October that increased by 71% to 12 new cases per day. And it's, that was from 7 to 12, so it was a total of 5 new cases per day. So the numbers weren't astounding. The percentages were pretty high. And had that been it, I don't think that we would have had the sense of concern that we have right now. But since October, which was 12 new cases per day on average, in this first half of November, or first two-thirds of November, we're seeing 21 new cases per day. So went up 71% in October, and we have increased again by another 75% in November. So this has led the council and the governor to take some additional actions. I say the council. The council has a council meeting today, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the governor did take some actions. I believe this was on November 15th or something of that nature, about a week ago. The governor actually took several actions, and his stated reasons were to protect lives, keep businesses open, and to return all children to in-person school by December 31st. So those were his goals. What he outlined was relatively brief. He is requiring that in restaurants, all tables be 6 feet apart, that bars and restaurants close at 11 p.m., and that masks are now required for visitors and for employees in state-owned operated facilities. So that was, the governor did not pass a mask mandate, for anybody that was curious. He did mandate them within state-owned and managed facilities. That really was the extent of what he'd done at that point in time. I think he is hopeful that this will slow the spread and that additional action will not be necessary. But obviously, I would not speak for the governor, but we know that it's possible that he could take additional action. So in a similar vein to that, the city council has a meeting today. First things first, there is no mask mandate being considered by the city council today. And I know we've received a lot of input from both sides, people who want us to pass one and people who are very concerned that we would consider it. Well, on the council meeting today, there is no mask mandate. Instead, what the council is looking at is to increase awareness of these recommendations and try to increase compliance through a public information campaign. And when we're talking about awareness and compliance, you're talking about there's what they call the three W's, and these are the CDC recommendations. And so really what the CDC is recommending is that you wash your hands, you watch your distance, and you wear your mask. And so those are the three things, and there's more to it than that, obviously. The mask has some caveats. It's essentially they're asking you to wear your mask when you're in public and around other people outside of your household. Social distancing, they're advising you to do that in those same circumstances. So those are the kind of things that the public information campaign will be focused on. The council, it's expected that they'll authorize that today. And it will start here within the next few weeks. There's a group who has actually been working on some messaging for that so that we'd be prepared in the event that the council did authorize it. The other thing that the council is doing, and again, there's no mask mandate similar to the state of Oklahoma. The governor didn't pass a mask mandate, but he did require masks within state-owned facilities. On the resolution that the council will consider today, there is the possibility that they will adopt masks being required in city-owned facilities. So right now, all of us as employees are required to wear masks whenever we are not alone, essentially is what it is. If you are, our exceptions are if you're alone in a vehicle, alone in your office, or if you are alone outside, then you're allowed, then you don't have to wear a mask. Other than that, when we're employees and we're on the clock, we have to wear one. The resolution would require the public essentially to do the same thing. There would be some exceptions, and the first two are the obvious ones. If you're alone in an enclosed space, if you are alone in a vehicle, you don't have to wear a mask on city property. And then, of course, there is the if you're under 10, that was not necessary for our employees because we don't have any employees under 10, but when we're dealing with the we might have some that act like it.
Hey, okay.
We don't have any that are. We might have a few, but as you can tell from the three of us. it would not be required for anyone under the age of 10 and also anyone with a medical exception. So those are the things that are really on the council meeting today. And again, the council is not considering a mask mandate for the city of Bartlesville. This would simply be just like any other business. It would be required for our facilities. This doesn't apply to parks. It doesn't apply to things like that. This applies to our facilities. So when you go into the police station, the library, city hall, operations center, the golf course, at the pro shop, things of that nature. But that's really about all that is on the agenda today. I know that there has been, again, there's been a lot of public interest, as you would imagine. But that's really all that's on for this afternoon. I don't think it'll take very long. And I think that we're hopeful that with a public information campaign and with us sort of leading the way by example, that we can hopefully get this under control in Washington County so that maybe the governor or anyone else isn't required to take any additional actions.
Got
it. So, voluntary.
And just because we get text, what time is the meeting?
Thank you. 10:30. So the meeting will be at 10:30. It is available to be viewed by all of our normal means.
Got it.
So at 10:30 today. And, of course, I'm sure you all will cover it as always.
Oh, as always.
So, all right. Thank you, Tom. Mm-hmm. And with that, we're going to turn it over to Keith Henry here. And Keith has some updates on some upcoming events in his departments.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah, we're going to do a little reminder or two about some upcoming events. The first thing would be the leaf and grass collection that we usually have a couple times a year. And that is quickly approaching on December the 7th through the 11th. So if your normal trash day during that week of the 7th through the 11th, again, on your normal day, if you want to collect leaves and grass and bag those items up and put them out at the curb alongside your cart, but at least 5 foot away from it, we will collect those items with no stickers needed. Again, need to be in bags. They don't have to be clear bags. They can be black, normal landscape or trash bags, not weighing over 50 pounds. Also, if you have limbs and debris of that such, you can cut those items up in 4 foot lengths and bundle those items up and no more than 50 pounds. Now, we'll be collecting those items. It won't be with the automated truck. So if he comes by and dumps your poly cart, but leaves those items, we'll have another truck probably coming by shortly that'll collect those. So we'll do those with a rear load. And if we happen to miss you, you can call us at 338-4130. That's our public number out there at my office, and we'll see what happened. But again, that's coming up in December the 7th through the 11th. We might also mention that the annual coupons, that's coming to a close pretty quickly. Those are still good through the end of the year. So if you've got your annual cleanup coupon that you would have received through the mail, typically in your water bill, that expires at the end of the year. I believe it's December 31st. So if you've still got those in hand and you want to use those to get your items out to the landfill, the Osage landfill, that is still available. Keep in mind, the landfill is privately owned. Their normal hours are 8 to 4 Monday through Friday, and they're open till noon on Saturdays. So if you've got those coupons and you haven't used them yet, you might want to be thinking about that. A couple other things is holiday pickups. It's that time of year. Actually, you know, Thanksgiving's this week. So if your trash collection day is actually on Thursday, we will be picking your trash up on Wednesday. And if your trash collection day is on Friday, we'll be picking it up on Friday. So the sanitation guys are working Friday, and they'll be around on your normal day. And then with Christmas coming up shortly after that, if your collection day is on the 25th, we'll pick those items up on the 23rd. So the Wednesday before, we'll be collecting those at Christmas. And might remind people to make sure you have your carts out to the curb by at least 6 o'clock, if not the night before. Especially during the holiday season, we have a lot of staff that are in or out. And then, of course, with the COVID issues and things going on this year, typically we'll have different drivers, relief drivers, so we might not come by your house at what you expect to be a normal time. So make sure you have it out at the curb by 6 o'clock in the morning, and we'll get those items collected.
All right. Well, thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. Know that there's always a lot going on about this time of year, and our schedules are a little unusual. Hopefully everybody will remember that if you're normally picked up on Thursday, you got to get it out a day early. So we will, and we'll be around to pick that up. We've had our new trucks for a little while, Keith, and I know that early on we had had some. We've always had a rule that you had to have the carts 5 foot from any obstruction. You also had to have the carts 5 foot apart from each other. I know early on we had not always enforced that because the old trucks were a little more flexible than what our new trucks are. Everything kind of smoothed out on that. I know that in the early times we were having a hard time communicating with everybody that they had to do that. How are things going on that front? Do we need to remind everybody about that rule? Or
we do. That's still a key issue, and you're correct. The old trucks, the way the arm was constructed or built, didn't necessarily have to have as much clearance. These, it's really critical that you do have. So again, it's 5 feet. We need 5 feet between the carts and 5 feet between any kind of obstacle, like a pole, a car, a mailbox, such as that. But a lot of the things are, we're still ironing out a few bugs with the trucks themselves. Again, something new like that, there's always some differences. The equipment operators are really doing good. They've gotten used to them. So in that aspect, a lot of things are back to normal. We've been working with the manufacturers on a few things that we're still tweaking on. But the regulations are very important. If you want to go to the City of Bartlesville's website, we have them posted there. The key thing, again, is to have the carts 5 foot of clearance. Might remind people to make sure that they bag their trash. That's really critical, too. We don't want that loose trash blowing out of our trucks, or even when we're dumping the cans, we don't want the trash to blow out of there. So it's really critical that everybody bag their trash, place it in the cart, make sure the lid's closed, no trash on top of the lid. A lot of times we'll get calls where trash has actually escaped the cart. When we pick up the cart, sometimes if the trash is loose, the lid will come open when it's going to the truck to be dumped, and the loose trash, paper, and things like that will blow out. So very critical that they bag the trash, have it out at the curb by 6 o'clock, and give us 5 feet of clearance, and the guys will be by there and pick those up for you, and everybody will have a good day.
And if anything comes up, just give us a call that day, and we'll see if we can get it corrected. If you have had any concerns, it's harder for us to fix it if you wait until later in the week or the next week to contact us. So
Absolutely.
Let us know if you have any problems that day.
Yeah, feel free to give us a call at 338-4130. The sooner the better. So if you've got some kind of an issue going on, give us a call. We'll come out, Craig or myself. Craig's our solid waste supervisor, and we'll visit with you and see what we can do to correct the issue. The carts in general have really became a hit now. I think everybody loves them.
Yeah.
I wish we had everything in carts. It works really good, and if the operator's not having to get out of the truck, it really saves on a lot of workers' comp issues and possible, hazards of somebody getting hurt from lifting or just stepping in and out of the truck. So carts have been a really big success, and I think everybody's on board with them now, and in general, everybody loves them.
And the second cart is pretty affordable, so if you might consider, if you are using stickers on a regular basis, might consider adding a second cart. I know that we have a lot of people out there that do have two carts.
We do. Actually, it's, I think, $5 more a month. You can have a second cart, and if you use it, great. If not, just leave it up at the house, but you have it when you need it. It's really a better value than having the stickers. The stickers are $2.50 a piece if you have to purchase those from City Hall or Quick Trips.
Yep.
But for $5, you can have that extra cart sitting there at the house, and we actually have several customers that have more than two. So it is available, and we have different size carts. We have the 96, which most people have at their house, and then we have a 64 and a 32. By far, the 96 is more popular.
Yep.
And will hold a lot more refuge. They're just as easy to handle, really, as a smaller one, so most people would elect to have the 96-gallon, which is what we standard issue to houses, residents.
All right, well, I appreciate that, Keith. And to the sanitation workers who have to work on Friday, we certainly appreciate your service, and hopefully they can find a different day to take off this year to make up for that.
Absolutely. Like I say, we'll be out there working. I might also mention, you might watch for our people. We'll be working downtown. It's that time of year, usually this week, that we start hanging Christmas lights and getting the festive Christmas mood. So some of the crews are going to start today working downtown, hanging our decorations on Frank Phillips Street. So you might see those guys down there as Christmas is approaching.
Looking forward to it. I think everybody's looking forward to a little bit of holiday cheer this year.
I have a question, Keith.
I've got an answer.
I know you do. So I noticed that around my house, several boxes have been piled up who come through the mailing system. So I should take those to the recycle center, right? Because cardboard is recyclable at our recycling center.
Cardboard is recyclable, and we do have that available for citizens at 10th and Virginia. We just ask that people collapse those boxes when they put them up in the container that we have marked for cardboard. A lot of other items are recyclable, cans, steel cans, aluminum cans, paper. We have all that signed at the facility where you can tell what we take and what we don't. And when I say we, it's not really we, it's the recycling center that we transport the goods to. They dictate what will be taken and what won't be. Cardboard is a large item that we take. We have several containers over there for it. And again, it's really helpful to us if everybody collapses the boxes, makes a lot more room, and causes us to make fewer trips to Tulsa transporting that material.
And what's the hours of that operation?
It's open from, typically it's open earlier because my guys come in early at 5:30, 6 o'clock, but I think we have it posted at 7 or 8 until 3:30 Monday through Friday, and on Saturdays it's open till noon.
I will get down there and get my boxes smashed.
We might remind people it is closed on holidays, so this coming Thanksgiving it'll be closed, Christmas it'll be closed, so in other words, days that we're not working, it is closed.
Open when we're open.
That's right.
All right. Appreciate it, Keith. Thank you. And Ms. Lisa, yes. Lisa Beeman, our community development director and park planner and many other things. Currently, you are the project manager for implementation of our newest software system.
That's right.
EnerGov, which I think we have invested a significant amount of time and money in software systems over the last several years. And one of the focuses of that has been to get to a point of where the citizens can interact with us virtually if they so choose.
Right.
Up to this point, we haven't been able to implement a whole lot of that, but with the implementation of EnerGov, I think we finally got some of that citizen-facing software ready to roll out. So,
right.
Why don't you give us an update?
I will. So, one of our goals has always been to try to make the way that we communicate with and serve the community much more efficient and effective, not only for us, but also for the citizens as well. So, I don't know, it's been several years ago, I guess, that we invested in a large software package, ERP is what it's called,
yep.
But to try to help all the different departments talk to each other, and by talking to each other and sharing information together, we're able to share that and respond with the community and the questions and the requests that come in. So we implemented almost a year ago now a program that is a land management program called EnerGov. But it is a way for us to track all the permits and licensing and any type of land management approval that has been approved or given to a piece of land. And so as part of that, we have a citizen service self-service citizen portal, I guess, where you can go online now and you can submit building plans and permits. You can apply for or renew your business licenses. You can submit zoning applications for processing and things like that. That is actually found on our front page of our home website at www.cityofbartlesville.org by going down to the middle of the page, and there's a large blue bar, and all the way to the right of that, there's a little tab that says e-services, and that's where you can begin to access that portal, the citizen self-service portal. We're currently working on another part of that whole system that would allow you to make a report or a request of any kind online as well. So you could go online anytime 24/7 and make a code enforcement complaint about tall grass or weeds or trash. Those can be made anonymously as well. You can report potholes. If you have a barking dog that barks all night long, you can report that on there as well. And all sorts of types of services that the city offers, you can make requests or report, make a report for service. That will hopefully roll out sometime after the first of the year. And as part of that, the thing that kind of kicks all this off is to have a city app on your phone. So just like you get on there and you hit your little button for Facebook, there would be a little button that would be for the city of Bartlesville. So it would be a front-facing, you know, button that you could access immediately into the city services. So that would allow you to pay your water bill. It would allow you to make a report or request. It would allow you to connect to submit a building permit or apply for a business license. It would allow you to connect in where you pay your water bill. It would provide you information with who your city council member is and how to contact them. Also, the different departments and contact information and directors for that. Would provide a listing of all the city parks that we have, as well as what facilities you can find at each park and how you go about doing reservations of those. It also provides a link, so you could see if you want to know what's happening in Bartlesville, it would provide you a link to all the various community calendars and sites that says what's happening, like the community center or the tower center at Unity Square. Chamber of Commerce, Visitor and Tourism, the Public Library. So it would provide all that kind of information to you, so it would be at your fingertips and ready for you to access easily, and as well to submit pictures and complaints. When you submit complaints, you can submit a photo of where the pothole is, so we know where it is and we can go out and find it, or the code enforcement complaints. So this is all an effort that we've been working on pretty hard over the last, probably 3 years. But my last year and part of this upcoming year has been mostly to implement this system, which is to provide kind of a citizen self-service portal. So we hope sometime in January we'll be able to come back and report that it's ready to go live and ready for your use.
And through the app, will we be able to send notifications to people in the event that we have water outages? And
right.
What do you anticipate that would be used for?
Right, good point. With our app, it would be like any app. So, and you get an app, sometimes it'll say, do you want notifications? And you can say yes or no. We hope that you, of course, will sign up with the app. That's the first step, sign up. It allows you to do all these things online, but also it would allow you to get notifications. So if we had, say, a big storm was coming up, or let's say there had been a big storm and, all the branches were an ice storm, and you'd get notifications of how to handle the pickup or what you can do with those. Anything that are kind of a little bit more, I'd say, on a more of an emergency need-to-know system, that we can just send out a notification, and anybody who signed up and has authorized those notifications to come to them would come to their phone immediately. So that's a really good way for us to communicate with you as well.
Yeah, this is a pretty powerful tool, and something that we started our software implementation over 3 years ago, but we had an innovation challenge with our employees about a year ago, I think was when we awarded that. And this was one of the ideas. The idea for a city app came out of that, and it was actually Kelsey Walker, who works for you.
Yep.
This was Kelsey's idea. So Kelsey was awarded with a travel voucher and given a great vacation, which she may or may not have even been able to use given the situation that we've had.
She hasn't actually been able to use it with COVID right now.
Unfortunately.
Something to look forward to.
I think some of the things that she had planned to do weren't available. So,
yeah.
It was a great contest. We got a lot of great ideas. I have a lot of energy efficiency saving ideas and operational improvements. But this was the winner, so we're looking forward to rolling that out.
And I think that, like I said, the key will be for people to sign up. But if you do, I think people learning more and more and rely upon the ability to submit requests and do things online, pay bills, this will allow us to do that. I think it's going to be a really good system for us to help to communicate, especially when there's something unexpected coming up that you can't normally wait to see something somewhere else. It'll pop up on your phone. So we'll be back in January to talk more about that then.
Hopefully give people the information on how to sign up for that.
Right.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate that. And before we sign off here, I just wanted to one last time to wish everyone in Bartlesville a happy Thanksgiving. And we certainly look forward. I know all three of us are certainly looking forward to this holiday and maybe a little brighter things in our future. So, Tom, certainly appreciate it. Thank you for hosting us as always.
Well, thank you very much. And, once again, we've got news coming up, and we'll see you on the other side.